The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. In fact, that's the way it is at Ed Morse. Over 1.2 million people have been backed by Morse with their price protection promise. And right now, during the Move Up sales event, drive a 2019 XT4 Premium Luxury just $299 a month. Plus, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa will make your first payment. Visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com for all the details at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there on their website, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. All the great offers for this month are laid out for you. 2019 Cadillac CTS, $399 lease per month. 2019 Cadillac XT4, the all-new XT4, $339 lease per month, and your first payment is waived. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the website, and the dealership there is right on Causeway Boulevard. Hector LeBron, general manager, ask for him. He will take care of you personally. He's happy to give that personal service. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Thanks to them for sponsoring all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com. They make him possible to continue entertaining and being the sage of Tampa Bay sports. And here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast, it is on. 2 weeks from the NFL draft. We are here. We are excited. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here, and the guest of honor, the sage, is in the house, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm laughing because I just saw you wearing sunglasses, Ira.
Right,
this is ridiculous.
Right.
And you are just ready. You got your Hall of Fame shirt on today and your Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa underwear. You look fantastic.
I'm color coordinated, Stevie.
You are looking good. All right, Ira, we're here at Hooters. You're inspired, I can tell. Trying to look extra cool.
Who wouldn't be inspired with that waitress? Holy smokes.
Whoa.
They're doing a calendar shoot down in the Bahamas. Why is she not there?
I got to say, Ira, and I'm not big on talking about the waitresses, but did you catch her name?
I did not. You caught everything but her name.
She's got a nameplate. She'll return.
Right. When she returns, her name is Brooklyn, Ira. You guys already have a bond.
Oh, see, that's an affinity right there over there, Lee.
Brooklyn Decker's got competition.
We're going to get right to what we heard and saw at One Buck Palace today. And also, I've got something fantastic for you. I can't wait to throw past you and Lee. Makes my day.
Can't be any better than that waitress.
As we heard in the opening, everything Ira is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The podcast itself, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, leave a review. Last couple of reviews on iTunes, Ira, were actually positive. No negativity, which is rare. Usually they love you and they call me and Lee schmucks and all sorts of other things.
Yeah,
you
know? Lee's
schmucks
known, Lee,
the most positive
Lee's
thing.
Lee's been known to take a beating on some of those comments, but he shows great restraint. He doesn't answer and he just takes it. Sort of like Jameis Winston. Just takes it.
I got scared. I thought Lee was going to drop another waitress reference. All right, never mind. All right, Ira, let's go right to the quarterback. Jameis Winston met the media today. What were your impressions? You've got sage-like wisdom on this kind of stuff. Entering his fifth year, this is his first news conference of the Bruce Arians era. Your thoughts?
I think maybe his swagger is back a little bit. I think it dropped last year, and how could it not? A suspension followed by a benching. First time that's ever happened, either of those things, to his professional career. Suspension
probably ever, period.
Yeah, probably ever, period. Got a little swagger back. The thing that always comes through, Lee, 98% of the time with Jameis Winston at a podium, his enthusiasm about playing football. That just almost never changes, except for a little bit of a dip last year that you guys noticed. You guys did notice it.
Is the word bridled fair?
I think it's fair. He seems a little rejuvenated under Bruce Arians, knowing that Arians has his back.
I meant bridled as far as last year. It was subdued the last half of the season.
Neutered. Much like perhaps Jason Light is acting in 2019, a little subdued. We'll see. We get him next week. We'll see what his attitude is. I want Jason Light to storm the castle next week, saying we're going to take no prisoners at this draft. We'll see about that, Lee. But
are you suggesting Ronald Jones is a prisoner?
A couple of things. One, he declared Ronald Jones a freak of nature.
Yes.
In terms of his athleticism.
Yes.
We haven't seen it. Now, some Buck fans are calling him a freak, but it's not freak of nature. second thing, Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, as far as Winston's concerned, way too much being made of this putting weight on. Way too much. I'll turn it over to you. How much he said he played at last year and how much he's going to play at
well,
this year.
Well, you know, maybe for the first time ever, there was a hint of frustration with the Fourth Estate. I think it was Jenna was asking him about the weight. Who knows what I played at? I mean, he got indignant. Who knows what I played at?
Wait, Steve, you can't put too much stock into what he's listed in the Buck website.
You think?
Yeah, you think.
That's the first time I've ever seen a glimpse of him being hacked off at the media of all the things he's had to put up with.
That's a 15-pound discrepancy. 15
yeah,
pounds.
But what I took out of that was all the, as Steve Dubin would say, spit he's had to take from various members of the Fourth Estate. That's the first time I've ever seen a glimpse of him being angry.
Probably thinks way too much has been made of this weight difference.
Yeah, well, he said he played at 245. So he said it's 5 pounds of muscle. What's the big deal?
I got to say, Ira, we're media guys. We cover the Bucks. You know what we talk about off camera, if you will, off microphone. This just shows a disconnect between the starting quarterback and the whole Bucks media relations team. If Jameis didn't like the story at the time, just go to the bosses over there and say, look, could you reach out to the media for me and just tell them that I played at 245 last year.
We don't have any way of knowing what Winston played at last year.
Had to go by what was listed. What else could you do?
All he's got to do is reach out and say, hey, could you email out there that I played at 245 so that this doesn't blow up further? But he didn't do it. He's got handlers. I've heard from those handlers, that especially the woman who's a psycho out in California. And I've heard she's a psycho on other people as well. Not the point. It's like Jameis shouldn't be up there with any frustration because that should have been taken care of weeks ago. I love the Bucks. I want to see this kind of stuff fixed before he takes an attitude one day where it becomes a problem or it turns media against him.
It's not a media issue, Lee. It's not a media issue.
Yeah, but I mean, is that in Jameis's, of all the things Jameis has to worry about, should he be concerned with how the media relations department or his paid handler deals with 5 pounds?
I'm a little startled that he played at 245 last year. I mean, I don't know if that affected his mobility in any way.
He was a great scrambler.
Forget what he said with the exception of the Ronald Jones, which is what you started with. Just the way he barked at the weight issue.
Steve, he also basically declared, and I'm not sure he's wrong. I'm not disagreeing with him, but he kind of declared O.J. Howard uncoverable.
Yes.
I'm not sure he's wrong.
I don't think he's wrong at all.
O.J. Howard was having a heck of a season before he got banged up and eventually got put on the shelf. And considering the fact that Cameron Brate gets his touches, not as much as in previous years because of that hip injury, but O.J. Howard is a guy that we could be talking about a lot this fall. I mean a lot.
It'll be very interesting because clearly Aaron's never had a tight end like him. Now, I think that's bunk that, you know, Aaron's doesn't throw to the tight end. Heath Miller in Pittsburgh. I watched a lot of Steelers games. He seemed to get a lot of touches, but he's not O.J. Howard. So, be interesting. But I agree with you, Ira. I don't think Winston's wrong in saying O.J. Howard is virtually uncoverable.
I didn't get any sense of friction between Winston and the previous coaching staff. Doesn't mean there wasn't any. But as far as him being at the podium, Steve, I don't think he's ever going to take a shot at Dirk Cutter. I kind of like that about Winston.
Now, Sage, you asked him about Gerald McCoy. Was that you?
I did.
What was your what were you looking for there? What'd you get?
Well, I asked him if he's staying in touch with McCoy and what's McCoy's state of mind, since McCoy hasn't been on Twitter very much.
Or any social media.
Lee, like he normally is. And he's not here. So I'm looking for, a little nugget. Lee, my takeaway is he's still not here. He's working out on his own. Jameis talks to him every week. And I didn't get any shred of optimism from Winston's answer about McCoy, that McCoy really wants to be a Buck at this point. Steve, I mean, it is what it is. He's not here, and Winston and his teammates are. He's not here.
I want to stay with Jameis, but I thought this was fascinating, Ira. Almost hilarious. You just can't make this stuff up. Now, Chris Godwin met with the media prior to Jameis on Tuesday. And I asked Godwin about Gerald McCoy. I asked him if you miss his presence out there and if he's back, was back today, if you missed him last week. Well, Godwin basically says, offense runs with the offense on the field. The defense runs with the defense.
If he's out there, I wouldn't even know.
I wouldn't even know if he's here or not.
Come on,
man. What is that? He's supposed to be the leader of the team. You don't even know if he's in there? What is that?
God would make a heck of a lawyer over here. Move.
He would. He's a smart guy. You know? Well, I'm gonna take Steve's statement and take it a step further. I don't know if you saw the current. I understand what they're trying to get at with that name. I don't like it. The Hard Knocks knockoff the Bucks do. In that episode, it was implied that Arians was talking to the team as a whole. I don't know that because they didn't show any video of him talking to the team. He could have been talking to his team. He could have been talking to his closet, for all I know. But in there, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have it in front of me. I didn't jot down the exact quote. In there, Arians is basically saying, you know, you guys, you play for yourself or you play for your team.
That's right.
Not one clip of Gerald McCoy. And he was saying how important it is that, you know, you play together, you play as a team, you play for one another. And here's a guy that likes to beat his chest that he's a leader. There's not one shred of evidence that he's there. What's that say about McCoy?
As we speak, guys.
And by the way, I'm not slamming McCoy.
No,
I understand why he's not there.
But there's not a shred of evidence that McCoy's going to be back on the Bucks next year. No, I don't see a shred.
There's none.
And in 2 weeks is the draft, and that could be when it happens, right then and there.
All right, Ari, going back to Jameis, we heard him go over the top about the freakish Ronald Jones. He said you watch film and whatnot of Justin Watson, and he said he looks like Mike Evans out there. He looks like Mike Evans. Mike Evans is the greatest receiver in Buccaneers history. Justin Watson is not there yet.
He's a good special teams player.
Jameis loves his team, and he was very firm, Jameis, when asked about Godwin. He said something to the effect of,
he said he's going to get more touches.
He's ready, and he's been ready. He is the guy to be that number two. A lot of confidence from Jameis. A lot of confidence.
You know, and I like Godwin's humility. Lee, I didn't hear one excuse from Godwin about a couple of bad games that he had. And matter of fact, he acknowledged them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy for, these diva receivers, which he's not. But a diva receiver's never going to say he had a bad game. Lee,
yeah.
Never. Going to blame the quarterback didn't have enough time. The quarterback wasn't accurate enough. We don't get any of that from Chris Godwin.
No.
Chris Godwin says, I got to suck it up. I got to play better. Very refreshing from Godwin.
Well, there's a couple things with Godwin I think people need to keep in mind. First, Steve and I were talking. It didn't seem like Godwin was over-the-top enthusiastic about being a slot receiver. Larry Fitzgerald played slot for Arians, and he had fantastic numbers. Now, granted,
and he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's a Hall of Fame what we're talking about. But the history with Arians does not suggest the slot receiver is like a throwaway receiver, a forgotten man.
Right.
He's an integral part of the offense. That's number one. Number two, with Godwin, I don't think he should, be bummed out about being a slot receiver.
I think he's got the attributes to flourish in that role. I really do.
I agree.
He's a good route runner, and as I mentioned to him directly, he's very good at contested catches.
Very.
And catches in traffic. He's got strong hands. When you work the middle of the field, guys, you know this, there are very few uncontested catches. And I think Godwin is well-skilled to excel in that role.
Well, Sage, I actually wrote in between while we were waiting for Godwin, when Godwin finished and Jameis, we were waiting for him for a bit. I wrote a whole story about this. Already put it on the website. Godwin was asked twice about being a slot receiver. He never said anything like, I can't wait to do it. I've been studying slot guys. I'm into it. I like it. He threw cold water on it without being a non-team guy. And then later he was asked about those contested catches, and he said something to the effect of, those bang-bang plays, if I'm in the slot, that'll become in handy. He seemed like a guy who doesn't want to play the slot, and frankly, I don't blame him at all. I got to disagree with Lee. The outside guys make a lot more money.
They do.
If Godwin thinks he's a number one receiver, when he's ready for free agency, he's going to want to get paid like that, and that's where guys make the big money, and they get less hurt, usually.
I do understand that.
He's going to rack up yards.
But, Lee, he's not a stretch-the-field guy. It's not like they're going to miss
he
him
thinks
in terms
he is,
of stretching
though.
The field.
He thinks
well,
he is.
Well, I've heard Cutter say this. I've heard Light say this. And Godwin, I think his play backs it up. He's a sneaky, fast guy. He may not look fast.
Sneaky fast.
He may not look fast to the naked eye, but the more you watch, He gets past
his
guys.
His yards per catch isn't bad, Steve. It's not bad.
His yards are not going to suffer being a slot in Arians' offense. That's what I was getting at earlier. Of course, Steve's right. Slot guys don't make as much money as wide out as outside guys, but he's going to rack up the yards. When it comes free agency, he's going to call. He's going to bank. He'll
but,
be fine.
But Steve's point is fair in terms
of...
Oh,
it's of, accurate. But
you know, from a business point of view...
It's accurate. But yeah. What I'm saying is his yards are not going to suffer being a slot in Arians' offense. That's the qualifier. Fitzgerald's numbers went up as a slot receiver. So, again, he's a Hall of Famer. That may not be a fair comparison. I think
he's going to make more money than Adam Humphries just made
yeah.
when Godwin's time comes around.
He's got to produce.
Here's one for you, Ivor. It's related to Godwin. And this jumped out at me. Now, it was a funny story. Funny how.
Goodfellas.
Funny how. It was funny that Godwin goes this luxurious vacation in Hawaii. Second day he's there, he's got to get a wisdom tooth pulled.
Unbelievable.
And I think Jenna asked him, are you going to return this summer? He goes, no, I got a lot of running to do to get used to this offense. Well, what? That sounds like a track meet offense to me.
Yeah.
It's like, if he's got to do a lot of running in the summer to get used to Arians' offense, that to me sounds like it's going to be rapid fire, Mike Leach, bang, bang, bang.
And this comes back to the same sort of thing we were talking about last year. Here we are sitting around, and I'm not knocking any of us.
Right.
Here we are sitting around saying, O.J. Howard's a monster. Brate's going to get his touches and his touchdowns. Mike Evans, one of the greatest all time. Godwin's going to rack it up. Here we have another play caller, an inexperienced play caller in Byron Leftwich, who's going to have to find a way, like the Bucs did last year, to spread the ball around effectively, manage guys and do all that, and actually get the ball in the end zone. If they can do that, they do have the horses,
but it's not easy. I don't think we overhyped the horses last year because for most of the year they had the number one passing attack in the league. Monken did a nice job of spreading the ball around, no question about it, especially using two different quarterbacks. We did not overhype those targets, but my other point is the roster was top heavy. They had an embarrassment of riches in terms of tight ends and wide receivers, and they were woefully short in other areas. That's not a well put together roster.
No,
sorry.
Terrible defense. No running game.
No running game. Your offensive line's struggling. Although DeKemper thinks it's one of the best in the league.
I think they're adequate. My eyes have seen what a bad offensive line is with the Bucs. It wasn't that long ago.
Now I can get Stevie going here. In the words of Jameis Winston, Donovan Smith is a, quote, beast. He's a beast, Steve. Is he a beast in your eyes? He has no qualms about Donovan Smith.
He's the best number 12 tackle in the league. What can I tell you? I don't know. I mean, the guy takes some plays off. It would be...
He doesn't take games off.
No,
Miss games.
If you're going to show up, you got to show up for the whole game.
Lee picked the perfect word for the Bucs.
The general manager of Hooters lowering the curtains on us. Beautiful.
It's curtains.
My shades
for you,
are coming off, gentlemen.
Johnny
the
Carson.
Shades are up.
I got to say this. Look, we've been through this before with Donovan Smith. Adequate's the best word for the whole situation right now. The question is that going to be good enough? And is Arians going to be able to push him to not take the few plays off he takes a game? Because that's just not cool when you got Dotson taking a few plays off here and there, and Benenock, that whole mess. We're going to find out soon enough. I asked Godwin about Miles Sanders. He had a nice endorsement of his former teammate.
Yes, he did.
I thought it was funny when he said nobody in the building's asking what I think. To which I reply, why the hell not?
Yeah, that's
why the hell
research.
Not? What is going on in that building that all those guys on Jason Light's team don't have enough time to go up to Chris Godwin or call him up and say, look, what can you tell us about Sanders? We're going to go visit him with our running backs coach. What is going on?
Well, we've talked about the lack of communication. It's been a big problem, Lee, in so many areas. So many areas. For example, communication on defense has been very poor. Sometimes the plays can't be relayed in a cogent manner. We're not trying to pick on anybody in particular, but it's been a problem. Communication in terms of where does this guy project on the field, how are we going to use him, and then how the guy is used. Yes, I'm talking about you, Benenock. I'm talking about you, MJ Stewart. There's been some other examples through the years. Where's the communication?
Well, what Steve's getting at is it has nothing to do with communication, but really quick, I think it's slanderous to use MJ Stewart's name in relation to Benenov. MJ Stewart's not there yet.
Fair enough.
He may be disappointing, but he's not a slug.
But there have been communication rules now. What do you want to say about specifically what Steve's talking about?
That's not communication. It's irresponsibility. I mean, you're not Belichick's staff. You're not Kevin Colbert's staff. Pick a team that drafts really well. You're not there yet. You're not even close to there yet. There is no excuse if you have a former teammate of a guy who you thought enough of to pay for an assistant coach to fly up to State College and do a private workout that you can't talk to one of his ex-teammates. That's irresponsibility. That's irresponsibility. That's not communication.
It's odd, Ira. I just have to put it out there. I'll leave open the slim chance that the only reason they sent the running back coach to talk to Sanders was some sort of covert way of getting information on somebody else. Maybe a smoke screen. I don't know, but that's a slim chance. It's odd. No matter how you slice it.
What was your takeaway? You asked the final question, I believe, of the day of Jameis Winston.
About his T-shirt?
What
looked at me and said, "Buck you."
I took it a certain way. but you did ask him his message to Buck fans. What was your takeaway from that message?
Well, I don't have the quote in front of me, but he said we were going to win. He said we're going to win games.
He also said we've said it before.
He said this time we're going to do it. You know, that's putting it out there. And that reflects really the head coach putting it out there. But frankly, I liked it, Ira, because you know what? And I put off writing this, but I was going to go back. I've documented some of it. Was going to go back and look at all the free agent news conferences so far, all the times we met the new players and Donovan Smith re-signing in this offseason. Nobody's talking about the Super Bowl. Isn't that what you kind of talk about when you're in a relaxed manner about talking about what you want to accomplish with your team? Jameis sort of went there a little bit by putting that out there. We're going to be a winning team, and I sort of, you know, he sort of said he guarantees it. I was good and happy to hear him say
that. Sort of reminds me when I took you two clowns to task for suggesting 8-8 as a successful season.
It is.
Nonsense. Nonsense. I'll say it again. Nonsense. Aim high, DeKemper. Aim high. I know you do in other facets of your life.
Oh, no.
Aim high.
I know better. I know. To use another cliche, I stay in my lane.
That's like settling for Cloris Leachman when you got a shot at Penelope Cruz.
That's not staying in your lane. That's like trolling the bar at 1:45 in the morning.
DeKemper. That's like going after Roseanne Barr
Cloris
over there.
No, that's desperate. That's drunken desperation.
A man like you's got a shot at Charlize Theron. You're over there looking for Hazel from that old show, Shirley Booth.
I may be the only person that listens to this podcast that knows about that.
I dropped these references in from the 60s. Nobody knows what the hell I'm talking about.
Ira's been covering football since 1952. Now, Ira.
I mentioned Buddy Holly. I get no response. No, nobody knows what I'm talking
same
about.
Same here.
Buddy Holly,
I don't know anything about him.
Now, but I can't wait to throw this out at you because this is too fun. I threw a poll up on Joe Buck's Fan yesterday, and I asked the fans if they would be pleased if the Bucks drafted Devin White with the number 5 overall pick.
And I checked in at 9 in the morning, and there were only 4 votes, and all 4 said we'd be happy with Devin White.
Last time I checked.
That was at 9 a.m.
All right. Last time I checked, noonish, 38% split. 38 yay, 38
nay. I got it right in front of me, Ira. And first of all, the poll went up.
That's like the split on McCoy with the Ring of Honor.
The poll went up at 10:23 a.m., so I don't know what you're talking about. So
I get my 9 o'clock here, 9 o'clock.
Pacific time.
Pacific time.
All right. So right now, would you be pleased if the Bucks drafted Devin White, number 5 overall? The yeses have 39%. The noes are at 37.67%. Not sure. 23%.
The Kemper's stomach is churning.
So the fans are split. Now let me say that I keep these polls up for 24 hours max because I sometimes that can lead to people voting too many times. Right? Oh, I'll vote tomorrow at the office when I get in. I'm sick of that. I hate that answer. No, it's 24 hours. It's a snapshot, and the IP addresses are tracked, so you can't vote twice. It's as close as we can get to legitimate. And I've made this point before. Usually the results within 1 hour, they're almost always the same as the results within 10 hours
wow.
or 20 hours. It's a smattering effect. Yeah.
You know, Lee,
yeah.
that split could reflect a divide in the upper reaches of the Buck front office. It could. As we shouldn't.
Now, I make that point, Ira, because if it's ever off, like after an hour, if it's 40, 60, 40, whatever the topic, and then after 5 hours, it's totally the opposite, I know something's not kosher, and I've never seen anything like that happen before. But the fans are split, and I think that makes for incredible drama just for the sake of fandom, because that means you got 10 guys in a bar arguing about this stuff, and three of them are in Lee's camp pulling their freaking hair out. The other three are yelling at Lee. And
it's gonna make for a wild draft party. I'll tell you that.
I was gonna lead to that. Our draft party, Buffalo Wild Wings, right there. Dale Mabry, Bucks Uncensored, easily 700-800 plus are gonna be out there. It's gonna be a wild time on draft night, opening night, and Friday
There's
night.
There's a buffet.
But that
There's
means Ira's got the buffet down. You have to.
But
pay.
It's not free.
It's not free. Don't because some people expected a free buffet last year, which.
We
free
can't
buffet.
Feed 700 people.
Yeah, who's feeding 700 animals? You know,
you can't even buy me eight wings over here at Hooters. You won't reach into your pocket.
So the point is, and you called it, that means on draft night, if they pick Devin White, it might be mayhem. They might need to call the police at that place. Does this surprise you that the fans are split?
You know, it does, because I think I would have guessed that Moore would be on Lee DeKemper's side. In this great debate that we've had for about 2 weeks, and if you missed it, you know, listeners, I mean, go back and listen to DeKemper's tirade. Steve, I don't know if you could find what the date was of that podcast. It was a classic. It was an absolute classic. I think he's going to do it again between now and the draft, because we're going to bring this up
idiotic,
again.
Man.
But I thought it would be sort of 50, 35, and 15 undecided, and 50 saying they wouldn't be happy. They want that pass rusher. Lee, it sounds like they're a little bit more towards mine. Keeping an open mind. Yes, Mr. DeKemper, on an inside linebacker.
You know how unfair that is for the poor kid? You're basically saying the guy's better than Ray Lewis and Keekly.
Whoa. Take it easy.
No, I'm not taking these. I'm taking the fact.
Maybe,
once again.
Maybe it's saying they don't think there's a J.J. Watt in this draft. A Bruce Smith.
If you think any Hall of Famers in this draft, then Light needs another line of work. Not even he's that crazy. Nobody's that crazy to say, you know what, this guy's a Hall of Famer. But basically, that's what you're saying.
Steve, can you go wrong picking a guy who makes five Pro Bowls and is a buck for nine seasons at middle linebacker? Can you make that? Is that a mistake? Is that a problem?
Of course, it's not a problem, Ira, because more than one guy runs a team. You know, you prefer to have the monster pass rusher if all things being equal. Five Pro Bowls apiece.
Wait, but strong bust factor on the pass rushers. Strong.
Oh, give me a break, Ira. If you're that freaking scared of drafting, go George Allen and trade every freaking draft pick. I'm sorry. This is so freaking idiotic. If you draft a middle linebacker at number five, you're saying he's a Hall of Famer, because no inside linebacker has been drafted in 26 years. Fact. Not Ray Lewis, not Kinkley, not Patrick Willis. You draft a guy number five, you're saying he's a Hall of Famer. That's irresponsible, especially when you need edge rush, especially when it's loaded edge rush. God damn, am I the only freaking person that sees this shit? I'm sorry about the language. I will give up on this team if they do that. I'm saying it right now. I give up on this team.
All right, may I respond? May I respond?
You can respond, but you're not going to say anything logical.
Steve, in retrospect, Kuechly deserved to be a top five guy. In retrospect, the way he's played, the impact he's had.
Where's your crystal ball, Ira?
He could have been a top five guy.
Where's your crystal ball, Ira?
That's my point.
Where's your crystal ball? Saying that, you might as well say, we don't need to draft any team. We don't need to draft a quarterback until the sixth round.
Hold on.
All right, I got to butt in here and ask Lee a question, because we're going to just call it a 50-50 split right now that a lot of fans disagree.
And you don't think that 50-50 is going to change much.
Well, I don't know, but it's 50-50. So, Lee, are you calling these half the fans who disagree with you? Are they Neanderthals? I mean, why do you think so many fans have this view? Why do you think they're in that mindset where they'd be happy with Devin White?
NFL Films has always built up the romantic notion of the middle linebacker. And look at Quan. And I admit, and I'm a fan too, we like cartoon characters. You know, people complain about a coach, for example. He's stoic on the sidelines. One of the greatest coaches that ever lived, Tom Landry. Chuck Knoll. I could go on and on, stoic. Bill Walsh. He was not demonstrative.
Greg Schiano.
but there's also been good coaches who are nutcases on the sidelines. But people like the visual. And the visual, Quan Alexander fit that perfectly.
Quan just got paid as an inside linebacker coming off an ACL. He's just not getting paid.
Yeah, did he get paid like DeMarcus Lawrence?
Are you saying John Lynch lost his mind?
I just said it.
He said it before.
DeMarcus Lawrence. No, he did not. DeMarcus Lawrence getting $20 million.
Now, Lee said that before, that he does agree that John Lynch has lost his mind, so we've been down that road.
By the way, I hope your machine picked up the Kemper slamming his hand on this table. That's a classic soundbite.
All right, Ira. So, Lee, you gave us a good answer, very interesting answer of NFL films, and basically just the romance behind the middle linebacker position, which there's
Jack
a lot
Lambert.
To that.
Love Lambert.
We live in
2019.
Your average 30-year-old listening isn't thinking, well, Jack Lambert is a, you know, come on. But is there any other reason? Do you think it's just that, as Ira suggested, that they've looked at this crop of pass rushers and are like, I don't know. I don't know if I really like anyone as much as I like White. Could it be an SEC thing?
Oh, yes, very much an SEC thing. Very much an SEC thing. Why he played in the SEC, by God, he could play football.
Freebird. Does Arians think
play
that way?
Play Freebird. I hope to God not.
There's no reason to think Arians feels that way. Boy, Lee, what are you drinking over there?
Well, do we feel the same about, not we, are the fan numbers the same about Devin White if he played for Boston College? Like a Keekly. I don't know.
Steve's absolutely on it because, you know, obviously we live in the Southeast. We live in an area that plays in the Southeast Conference. Although J.P. Peterson likes to needle him about the ACC has more titles the last 10 years. Oh. But at any rate, it's very much that. How many people watch Michigan football? In this area, not that many. I think Steve's absolutely on to that. You know, if the Bucks were the northern team in a Big Ten country, they'd probably be screaming about Devin White. I'm not anti-middle linebacker. I'm just anti at number five.
Steve, I'm gonna make my case very succinctly, and I'm not going to slam my hand on the table. Here's my case. If I feel that Devin White is the best player still on the board, regardless of position, at number five, it's not like they don't need a linebacker. I'm going to raise my voice like the Kemper over here. What, are they all set at linebacker? What is this, linebacker university? You just lost Alexander. You don't know what the hell's going on with Beckwith. You're not a Devontae Bond fan, and you don't know what this money backer's going to do. So if he's the best player and he plays a position of need, well, what's the great mystery over here?
The mystery is that you escalate middle line, you overvalue middle linebacker. How many times do NFL teams run and pass short middle? How many times? I guarantee you it's not the majority, not even close.
Keekly's a big factor on pass defense. He's a factor.
I will repeat. How many teams, I don't give a damn who's playing middle linebacker. How many teams run up the middle and throw short over the middle? How many? What's the percentage of plays in the NFL?
Shelton Quarles played a key role in Buck pass defense.
Don't give me Shelton Quarles at number five overall. You're not even close. Come on.
All right. I'm just you are minimizing the role of these inside backers.
Because it's been minimized by teams.
I'm going to throw.
I mean, you keep bringing up McCaffrey.
The Falcons
lost
Deion Jones. They fell apart.
You keep bringing up McCaffrey. You keep bringing up Alvin Kamara, who I love, and it drives me nuts. The Bucs didn't draft him. They don't use him in the middle. They use him on the perimeter. They use him outside.
And
on top of that.
So you angle Devin White that he can cover.
How many yards do those two running backs get compared to the quarterback throwing?
This guy's faster than McCaffrey and Kamara.
I don't care if he's Manu Bol, Usain Bolt.
Well, I'll say at least for
now,
McCaffrey.
If you use White, if the Bucs say we're drafting this guy to play outside linebacker, completely, totally different story. But if you're saying we drafted a guy at number five to play inside, I'm going to lose my mind, and I'm going to give up on his team. I'm absolutely going to give up on
his
team.
You're not giving up on his team because he's going to make the Pro Bowl if they get him, and you're going to have nothing to say to Kemper.
Meanwhile, Breeze, Ryan, and Cam Newton are going to sit back there and order pizzas while they throw for 400 yards a game.
And you can take your Marcus Sweat and sit on him. I don't know anything about Marcus Sweat. Who's Marcus Sweat?
Montez Sweat.
That's why you don't know Marcus.
Even better.
That's his brother, Marcus. You know, it's a fun debate. I will say
it's not even fun for me. It's aggravating as hell.
I will say they they definitely use McCaffrey up the middle, all over the field, and
McCaffrey
over
plays
the middle
in the
as
slot.
Well.
Wait, but, he lines up in the slot.
But the point is that one guy doesn't make a team no matter what, regardless.
I absolutely disagree with that. I mean, we saw what you should have seen. You claim to be a Chiefs fan.
What do you mean claim?
D. Ford.
I'm still pissed off about that.
D. Ford. They don't beat the Rams without D. Ford. They do not beat the Rams without D. Ford. There's a perfect example.
They didn't beat the Rams. They lost to the Rams.
Oh, well, the argument gets fun. And, of course, I guess you could say you could have the pass rushers, and they're still lighting it up. You know, it was a record completion percentage last year. So maybe the pass rushers are more important, or maybe they're less effective. There's so many ways to slice it up, Ira. I'm not that passionate about this debate, which I think is pretty obvious. You know, the draft is a crapshoot. Look, if Bosa falls, as an example, which probably isn't going to happen, but if Bosa fell and it was Bosa or White and they took White, I'd lose my mind. But I'm not sure if any of these other guys, Josh Allen, I'm not sold whatsoever that he's anything more than a crapshoot, as the other guys are in the draft, because there are plenty of them.
Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle.
Quinnen Williams, that's the guy who, if I had to pick, I said on the podcast before, I would like to see him on the Bucs. That would be my choice. But
didn't you just take a defensive tackle in the first round last year?
What is that? Why are we holding to these themes of didn't you do this last year, this year, whatever? I don't get it. You're talking best player available. Now you're looking back to last year? You can't do both.
Well, supposedly, and I'm going.
I guess I'm arguing that defensive tackle may not be a position of giant need.
The thing about, you know, we heard about Villa, you know, the Bucs have claimed he could play out, you know, as an end. Maybe he could play an end in a 3-4. That's a good question to ask Arians at some point, or Bolts, whenever they make him available. And apparently, Quinnen Williams, allegedly, is that, what's the word I'm looking for?
Versatile,
exactly. It's versatile enough.
I'm trying to help you, Lee. I'm trying to help you.
I could compromise with Williams. You know, like I say, the only thing that freaks me out about Williams is Alabama defensive players. Not all of them, but a lot of them. I mean, they come out of college and they're fantastic as far as their talent. But I've heard from GMs, and I think just as a casual fan watching, those guys are so coached up by Saban.
Are you sold on Allen as an edge rusher?
Oh my God! Yes, Allen, Sweat.
Lee's entranced with Oliver.
I'd be okay with Oliver. You know, that's another guy that's supposed to be versatile. Allegedly, he's been misused if you talk to NFL people. Like I said, I would be content with Williams or at Oliver. I would not be content with Miller. Hell, I'd be more content with a cornerback. Supposedly, Greedy Williams has tackling issues, but he can cover. I'd be okay with that.
I think it's important for our listeners to realize this, and Lee, correct me if I'm wrong. When I look at running back, offensive line, linebacker certainly, there's not an outside linebacker that's worthy of taking it 5. I can tell you that right now. And corner and safety. Lee, you are basically saying if they take anybody but a defensive lineman, you're going to lose your mind.
No. I'll lose my mind.
What do you mean? If they take Greedy Williams, a cornerback, you're going to be okay with that?
I could swallow that, yeah.
You could swallow that?
Yeah.
A cornerback?
Yeah. I could swallow that.
A safety?
That I don't know. I would probably freak at a safety.
A guard?
Oh, that's ridiculous. A guard at 5. Hey, this guy, okay, what changed my mind about Quentin Nelson? I know you were on Quentin Nelson.
I was.
Like.
And I turned out to be
You were on Quentin Nelson like I
prescient.
Be, like I
there's
like,
my word of the day. Prescient over there, gentlemen.
What sold me was I talked to an NFL GM last year, and I said there's no way I could draft a guard that high unless you're telling me he's John Hanna. And the GM told me this guy might be John Hanna. That changed my mind when I heard that. And so far he's been pretty good. But no, there's no Quentin Nelson in this draft. So, okay. Yeah, I would go nuts about it. I'm done. I'm tapped out here.
Lee, you did it again for us, you know, and I think you'll do it one more time in the next 2 weeks. I'll get you going.
All right, Ira. Any other thoughts about Jameis getting up there, the vibe you got from him? Anything?
You know, I asked the very first question, and I thought it was a good question. Lee, I get Pablo's answer. I asked him about whether he's really relishing Arians' remarks about, you know, this is a very talented team. We're going to win now. Forget this rebuilding garbage. Just the swagger of Bruce Arians. And I said, Don't you feed off that? I got a problem answer. Come on, Jameis, you can do better than that. I was very disappointed. That bummed me out just like the Kempers all bummed out about Devin White. I was brooding after that. I thought that was a good first question. I got nothing out of it.
It happens.
You know, here's something, you know, you're talking about Arians kind of boosting Jameis with his words. And I didn't see this until last night. I've yet to watch the full video of Arians in Arizona. I'm going piece by piece. Oh, he said that, and I'll write up a story, and I'll continue the next day. I've yet to see the full. So up until last night, outside of what Steve's already used, I had not seen his full remarks on Hargraves. I did last night. And, man, he talked up Hargraves. Like, wow, we had him high up on our draft board in Arizona. He was really good at Florida. He's just been injured. How dare you call him a bust? And I'm starting to think he all but sold out Mike Smith and those rotten secondary coaches. He stopped just short, but he's like, this guy's a good player. And he just stopped just short of saying he was misused. It almost came across like he was saying a strong suggestion that round peg, square hole. And I've been writing that for 2 years that I didn't think these guys knew how to develop corner. What was your take on Arian's words about Hargraves?
All right. The number one quality that you have to have at corner is confidence, because you're going to get beat.
Yeah.
You're going to get beat.
Short memory.
You're facing Julio Jones. You're facing Michael Thomas. You're going to get beat. By the way, did Hargraves say last week that they handled Michael Thomas in the opener? I thought he said something about that. The guy caught 16 passes. I think they threw to him 17 times.
I don't think that's what he said.
Well, their defense is so rotten, maybe they expected 25 catches.
By the way, you know what was a cute line? Was somebody asked about Arians' defense, Jameis. What'd you notice about Arians' defense in Arizona? And Winston says, we only played him once, and I try not to think about that game. That was fun.
Yeah, I had asked him about his impressions of the defense. And I will close it out, Sage. On Lee's note, there was a side chat in Arizona, and just as it ended, Arians had talked about Hargraves there off the cameras and was talked about, hey, they just didn't have him doing press coverage, which he really did his fair share of press coverage in 2016. But, okay, he was talking about the last couple of years, I guess, and they just didn't use these corners in press. And I asked him, hey, did that surprise you? And, you know, kind of almost baiting him into taking a shot at Mike Smith. He said, he got all serious, like, oh, no. Mike Smith's been doing that very successfully for a lot of years, blah, blah, blah. So it almost, I don't even know how to interpret that other than it just didn't work. It was, I don't know. Have one guys?
It's a lousy mindset in a town like Tampa. People want aggressive defense. They're used to it. It's a defensive town. When the Bucs were good, it was because of an aggressive defense. And it doesn't go over well. And I don't want to see those guys lining up 9 yards past the line of scrimmage, Lee. I'll slam my hand on the table in the press box louder than you just did 10 minutes ago, DeKemper.
Just stay 9 yards away from this waitress, Ira, and everything will be good. All right, we will see you
Brooklyn,
next week,
Sage. Brooklyn.